7 minut. Izvolite.
Thank you, Chair. I have a few minutes, and I will use them to first to give you a description of the current situation of this threat in the area of child sexual exploitation. And secondly, I will give you a glimpse of how Europol is supporting the European law enforcement community in this fight. I seize this opportunity to inform that the 11th of November, Europol will publish the Internet Organized Crime Threat Assessment, the IOCTA. In this report, we provide a description of the threat in the area of cybercrime, and we are also covering child sexual exploitation. Let me start by saying that the production and dissemination of child abuse material has been a major concern since the beginning of the internet. We have seen how child sexual offenders have used online environment and how they have abused technology to exchange child abuse material, to network, and to look for victims. In 2021, we have not seen big changes. However, a number of factors have affected the evolution of these criminal activities. The first one is that we have more children online. We have more children spending more time online using electronic devices equipped with cameras, and they spend more unsupervised time using these devices, and this is exposing them to a number of threats, including child sexual exploitation. This situation has been intensified in the context of the COVID pandemic, and we have seen how child sexual offenders have identified this as a golden opportunity to have more access to children. This increases the amount of children online with limited supervision has increased the victim surface for child sexual offenders. And this has become translated in an increase of grooming cases involving children active in online environments, in social media, and also online gaming platforms. We have seen a worrisome increase of self-generated material. This material produced by children and young people is a consequence of the normalization of the sexual behavior online and a change in the perception on how young people address the sharing of explicit material online. In the context of even not exploring their own sexuality. The problem is that even if they share this material with a trusted partner, as soon as this is sent, they lose control. And unfortunately, very often, this material finds its way to the open internet. We have seen how this material displays a progressively younger children. And also as a consequence of sexual extortion, we have seen how child sexual offenders active in these online environments where children are active, they gain trust of children as a first step before proceeding to the abuse and leading to the production of self-generated material. We have seen how peer-to-peer networks continue being a prominent environment where child sexual offenders exchange child abuse material one-to-one, but also in small groups. They create small groups where they exchange this material. And we see the same trend also in the use of a messaging application where they create private groups for child sexual offenders to exchange this material. We have seen how the dark web continues being an environment abused by child sexual offenders. They create forums and sites created by and for child sexual offenders. These sites are well structured and they will define hierarchy and roles within the community that is creating them. I would like to make reference to a recent operation that we had the opportunity to support. It was an operation that was led by the German Federal Police, and it involves the takedown of Boys Town. Boys Town is a child sexual offender site, as I say, created by and for child sexual offenders. The takedown was the consequence of an international operation where other law enforcement authorities cooperated. And after the takedown, we saw that this site had 400,000 users registered. I would like to spend a minute here. 400,000 users registered in a site that's created by and for child sexual offenders. I hope this is enough to give you an idea on the level of criminality that we are facing in this area. And also see how these offenders are quite resilient. We have seen how for years we have developed operations targeting child sexual offender sites in the dark web, And we see after the takedown of these sites, very soon, another one is created when these communities, group of criminals meet again to network and to continue exchanging child abuse material. Just to give you an idea how this environment operates, it's very normal that in these sites they have what they call a VIP area, an area to which you can only access if you show you have access to children. You can produce child abuse material. You send a sample to the administrator, and if he sees that this material has been produced by the user, then they give you access to this VIP area. You have to send new material every month or on a regular basis, otherwise you are kicked out from this VIP area. This is the kind of offenders we are dealing with. We have also seen an increase in the commercial exchange of child abuse material. We have an estimation from one of the companies specialized in monitoring cryptocurrencies, how the cryptocurrencies have been used to monetize the exchange of child abuse material, and they have seen an increase of 3 times the volume of exchanges related to child abuse material in the period 2017-2020. And we have also seen how child sex offenders pay minors for the exchange of self-generated material, making use of established legitimate online platforms, but online platforms that fail to restrict access to minors, that sometimes use fake identification to register and then sell the material they produce themselves. I will spend a minute explaining how Europol is supporting the law enforcement community in this fight. We have a team, one of the oldest teams we have in the organization, supporting the European law enforcement community for more than 20 years with operational analysis, forensic support, and the coordination of cross-border investigations against child sexual offenders. In 2020, we supported more than 100 operations, and only this year we have already supported more than 50. This team is also supporting a number of EU member states in the dissemination of child sexual exploitation referrals, reports produced by online service providers, mainly in the US, channeled through the National Center for Missed and Exploited Children, NCMEC, and provided to Europol through one of the US agencies represented in the organization. In 2020, we disseminated 200,000 reports. In 2021, in the first month, we have disseminated 60,000. This is an important work, a burden for the law enforcement community. The processing and analysis of these referrals requires is an important workload, and that's why we are developing, together with the law enforcement community and the private sector, tools to help us in the analysis and the processing of these referrals. We have, we are involved in a project funded by the Commission to support this task. Here I would like to mention also the Sirius project also funded by the Commission, helping to the law enforcement community to have a faster access to e-evidence. And here I would like to highlight also the role played by the Europol Innovation Lab in monitoring and helping in the development of these tools for the law enforcement community. In 2015, we implemented at Europol a victim identification function. We have specialized officers on victim identification, and we build a database on child abuse material. On a yearly basis, or once or twice a year, we gather experts across the EU and the whole world to analyze this material. Precisely yesterday, we opened what we call the Victim Identification Task Force. We have today, and this week and next week, 30 experts from 25 countries analyzing this material, pictures and videos of child sexual abuse. We started this victim identification task forces 7 years ago. As a consequence of this work, we have identified and rescued 522 victims, and 179 child sexual offenders have been arrested. We are far from being satisfied on this. Even with all the efforts and the resources implemented, we have been able to analyze not even half of the database we have. So that on child abuse material. That's why we need, yes, more resources, but also we need a better use of technology to help us in this process. Finally, I would like to make a short reference to what we are doing in the area of prevention. Examples like Say No campaign against child sexual coercion extortion. We have produced videos and graphic material available for all the EU member states they can use for national campaigns. And we are also active in the Cybersecurity Month, working together with NGOs and civil society. We play a role in the area of capacity building, developing training for the law enforcement community, on child sexual exploitation investigations and also in victim identification in cooperation with CIPOL and Interpol. And finally, I would like to highlight that child sexual exploitation is one of the priorities of the current EU policy cycle on criminal threats that will finish this year, but have also been identified as a priority in the upcoming EU policy cycle starting next year, 2022, and will last until 2025. Thank you, Chair.
Hvala tudi vam, spoštovani gospod Ruiz, za vaše poročilo in seveda predstavljene podatke. Še enkrat se sodelujoče lepo prosim, da se vsaj okvirno držite predlaganega časa, zato da bodo lahko prijavljeni tudi dobili besedo in bo stekla ustrezna razprava. K besedi pa bi sedaj povabil gospoda Oliverja Honidi, namestnika generalnega direktorja pri Generalnem direktoratu za migracije in notranje zadeve iz Evropske komisije. Gospod Honidi, izvolite, prav tako imate na voljo 7 minut.
Thank you very much, Chair, for this opportunity, and thank you for also choosing this subject. We believe it's a very important subject. Criminals have not or are not waiting for Mr. Zuckerberg to develop his future virtual world. I mean, criminal networks are actually already operating in the virtual world. They have created their own virtual worlds, plural, and some of the best cases that came before in the very recent past are basically cases where the law enforcement community, with the help of many actors, have succeeded in either infiltrating, penetrating the so-called undercover operations Mr. Breyer was referring to, or have even managed to create mock criminal virtual worlds in order to attract criminals and provide ample evidence in order to seize those activities. In the particular context of child sexual abuse, Fernando has reminded us, this is now standard practice. I mean, the abuse is being conducted virtually. Recruitment, the grooming of children is also being conducted virtually. This is really the prime area where we need to pull on all our efforts in order to crack down on this horrendous sort of abuse. What do we need? First and foremost, we need to continue capitalizing on building up the tools. And for us, and this is why having this discussion in the context of this joint parliamentary scrutiny group is so important, our best possible response in terms of developing the tools is progressively reinforcing our central body, which is Europol. Europol has become, at least for the European Union, the center of excellence, the place where the law enforcement community at European level, but also growingly the international community, is actually meeting, is confronting information, is building up operations. And this is the very legitimate reason why we have come with a proposal to beef up, to reinforce the powers of Europol, notably in some of the absolutely critical aspects Europol needs in order to keep ahead of the curve, be able to keep ahead of what criminals do. First, provide Europol more means in terms of working internationally. Transferring information, data is one thing, but also organizing operations around the world. Second, the possibility for Europol to actively work with different sets of actors, including private actors, not only in the financial field, but also different forms of actors, providing information, providing tools also that are of the essence to conduct these investigations. The power to analyze, collect, retain big data. And finally, also the power to develop constantly new tools in being becoming our innovation hub at European Union level. So very important that we indeed finish off and conclude the reinforcement of Europol by the end of the year, and that in the context of this joint parliamentary scrutiny group, we continue encouraging Europol and also providing further impetus for Europol to do all these tasks. Second aspect, in the particular context of child sexual abuse, and something probably where we haven't been involved so much at European Union level, is the prevention aspect. The Commissioner was referring on early on. This is the reason why in the forthcoming legislative proposal we will be tabling, there will be an important component on prevention, learning from some of the prevention tools that we have developed in other areas, in the context of preventing violent extremism, in the context of also supporting the rehabilitation and the protection of victims of trafficking of human beings. We do want to organize at European level a very strong capacity to actually prevent child sexual abuse, but also protect victims and rehabilitate victims throughout the way of investigations. Third aspect will be the enhanced capacity to actually put in law a shared responsibility of the different actors. I think the question is not whether we should either only conduct undercover operations or law enforcement-led operations, or only rely on the willingness of different actors to support us in identifying material, in providing essential information on child sexual abuse material, but rather to make sure that a legal framework does confer a just, a proportionate dose of responsibilities to all the actors involved in this. Actors involved in identifying material, identifying grooming activities, but also actors responsible for fighting this sort of crime. And therefore, we believe the forthcoming proposal will also have an important additional dose of codification of the different forms of responsibilities, very much building up on the new framework that confers responsibility on the internet actor in the context of the discussions ongoing around the Digital Services Act, but being more precise as to the type of responsibility we would like the different internet actors to shoulder in helping us to identify those perpetrators abusing children. This will be codifying. This will also mean that the legislative framework needs to enhance the capacity of different organizations to play and shoulder themselves. Hence, the proposal will also probably come with the idea of building up a European capacity, a European center for the prevention and the support against child sexual abuse that will organize further, also reinforce the work of dedicated organizations like Europol. Thank you very much.
Najlepša hvala tudi vam za vašo razpravo in vaše sporočilo tej naši skupini. Naslednji pa nas bo nagovoril gospod Robert Tekavec. Gospod Tekavec je, kot rečeno, vodja oddelka za mladostniško kriminaliteto sektorja za splošno kriminaliteto uprave kriminalistične policije Republike Slovenije. Gospod Tekavec, beseda je vaša in na voljo imate 5 minut. Izvolite.
Hvala lepa, gospod predsedujoči, za besedo. Spoštovane poslanke, spoštovani poslanci, spoštovana komisarka Johansson, dragi gostje. Veliko čast mi je, da lahko kot nacionalni predstavnik operativnega dela slovenske policije spregovorim danes z vami. Govoril bom o ne tako veseli tematiki, o spolnih zlorabah otrok, o temi, ki jim moramo nameniti vso pozornost. Sam sem kriminalist z 21-letnimi delovnimi izkušnjami in večino tega časa v policiji sem namenil prav preiskovanju spolnih zlorab otrok. Gre za resno tematiko, ki, kot rečeno, potrebuje vso pozornost. Spolne izkoriščanje otrok in spolne zlorabe so ena izmed najhujših zavrženih kaznivih dejanj, ki jih lahko stori človek in to zoper najranljiveške prebivalce otroke. Izkoriščanje nedolžnih in naivnih otrok, ki jih storilci posiljujejo, jih fizično in psihično poškodujejo, v nekaterih primerih celo usmrtijo samo zato, da zadovolijo svojo spolno potrebo ali da s tem celo zaslužijo, je grozljivo. Preprečevanje, odkrivanje in preiskovanje te kriminalitete, predvsem pa reševanje mladih življenj, je in mora biti za organe pregona in za celotno družbo prioriteta. Ob tem smo organi pregona, kriminalisti, postavljeni pred kar nekaj izzivov, tudi ovir. Soočamo se s stalnim povečevanjem števila gradiva, ki prikazuje spolno zlorabo in spolno izkoriščenje otrok, tako na internetu kot v osebnih zbirkah mnogih storilcev. Postavljeni smo pred dejstvo, da storilci lahko uporabljajo načine, kako delovati v virtualnem okolju, ne da bi bili odkriti. Uporabljajo temni internet in šifrirana omrežja, do katerih organi pregona nimajo dostopa. Pogosto niti ne sami ponudniki internetnih storitev. Poleg tega pa je spolni zlorab otrok in video, foto, gradiv, ki ob tem nastanejo, tako veliko, da so organi pregona na robu svojih zmogljivosti. Govorimo o terabajtih zaseženega gradiva, o 100 tisočih ali celo milijonih fotografij in videoposnetkov, ki jih organi pregona moramo pregledati, če želimo identificirati ali rešiti prav vse otroke. Pogosto zaradi zakonskih omejitev ne moremo do podatkov, na podlagi katerih bi lahko identificirali žrtve, jih rešili in identificirali storilce. Podatki, ki imajo na primer ponudniki informacijske tehnologije, so za organe pregona nujno potrebni, včasih celo edini dokaz, na podlagi katerega lahko primer uspešno rešimo. Sami pa seveda s temi podatki ne razpolagamo. Organi pregona si želimo mednarodnega sodelovanja, ki je že sedaj zelo dobro in seveda nujno potrebno za učinkovit boj proti spolnemu izkoriščenju otrok. Zelo dobro sodelujemo z domačimi organizacijami, predvsem z spletnim očesom oziroma Centrom za varnejši internet in tujimi, z Europolom, Evropsko komisijo in CEPOLom. Želimo si sodelovanja s ponudniki informacijske tehnologije, ki zlorabo lahko zaznajo, jo tudi preprečijo, sodelovanje z razvijalci orodij umetne inteligence za odkrivanje in preiskovanje te kriminalitete. Želimo si predvsem zakonodajo ne za nas, temveč za pravice nemalo tistih otrok, ki zaradi spolne zlorabe trpijo celo življenje. Želimo si sodelovanje s celotno družbo, predvsem v smeri preprečevanja zlorab, skupnih preventivnih aktivnosti in ozaveščanja, da so zlorabe otrok med nami in da smo vsi skupaj dolžni skrbeti za naše otroke in jih zaščititi. Predvsem se moramo vsi skupaj vprašati, kakšne so pravzaprav razsežnosti spolnih zlorab otrok, o čemer sta govorila že gospoda pred mano. In seveda, kako se bomo skupaj temu uprli z uporabo novih ali pa celo včasih istih ali podobnih tehnologij, ki jih uporabljajo storilci za izvrševanje kaznivih dejanj. Vprašati se moramo, kako lahko vsi skupaj kot družba prispevamo, da bo zlorabljenih otrok čim manj. V Sloveniji se zavedamo, da smo v boju proti spolnemu izkoriščanju otrok lahko učinkoviti le, če sodelujemo z različnimi akterji domačem in v mednarodnem okolju. Da stremimo k skupni zakonodaji, ki nam bo vsem omogočila načine in orodja, s katerim bomo v koraku ali celo korak pred storilci spolnih zlorab. Ena izmed takih načinov je vsekakor sodelovanje v Impactu, ki je v preteklih letih močno prispevalo k bolj učinkovitemu boju proti spolnemu izkoriščenju otrok. Poleg tega spodbuja sodelovanje Evrope tudi s preostalim svetom, s preostalimi regijami. Ena izmed takih je tudi regija Zahodnega Balkana, kjer Slovenija sodeluje z samo regijo in skupaj z Europolom prispeva k boljšemu sodelovanju. Vodilo, ki ga sledimo po afriškem pregovoru, se glasi: sami pridemo hitro, skupaj pridemo dlje. Naj bo to vodilo za vse nas. Hvala za vašo pozornost.
Spoštovani, se opravičujem. Hvala lepa, gospod Tekavec, še enkrat za vašo predstavitev in seveda tudi za pogled strani Policije Republike Slovenije. Kot zadnjega pa k besedi vabim še gospoda Andreja Motla, predstavnika Centra za varnejši internet, prav tako iz Republike Slovenije. Ta center se bori za varnejši internet v naši državi, prav tako se močno borijo k temu, da ozaveščajo ljudi in seveda tudi, da poskrbijo za preprečevanje teh dejanj. Gospod Motel, izvolite, imate 5 minut.
Najlepša hvala za besedo. Spoštovani prisotni, veliko čast mi je, da lahko sodelujem na tokratnem srečanju skupine za skupni parlamentarni nadzor nad Europolom. V svojem prispevku bom predstavil aktivnosti Centra za varnejši internet Slovenije na področju preprečevanja in preventive na področju spolnega izkoriščanja otrok na internetu. Naprej, prosim. Slovenski center sestavljajo 3 enote. To je točka osveščanja o varni rabi interneta SEFSI, telefon za otroke in starše, ki se na internetu znajdejo v težavah, Tom telefon, in pa točka za anonimno prijavo nezakonitih vsebin na spletu, spletno oko. Projekt izvajajo Fakulteta za družbene vede, Zavod MIS, Zavod ARNES in pa Zveza prijateljev mladine Slovenije. Projekt financirata agencija HDA pri Evropski komisiji in pa Urad Vlade Republike Slovenije za informacijsko varnost. Prva enota centra je SEFSI, točka osveščena o varni rabi interneta. Na tej točki so zgolj v letih 19 in 20 obiskali 552 šol, izvedli 1299 delavnic in drugih predavanj za mlade in otroke, 97 delavnic in predavanj za starše ter 9 usposabljanj za učitelje in druge šolske strokovnjake. Skupaj so na ta način dosegli več kot 38 tisoč učiteljev, staršev in mladih. Naprej, prosim. Druga enota Centra za varnejši internet je Tom telefon, svetovalna linija za težave na spletu. Namenjena je tako otrokom, kot tudi njihovim staršem in vsem, ki delajo z otroki in se lahko zaradi tega tudi soočajo s tovrstnimi zlorabami. Tom telefon omogoča pomoč tako prek telefona, kot tudi preko spletne klepetalnice. Tretja enota je spletno oko, to je prijavna točka, kjer lahko vsakdo anonimno prijavi posnetke spolnih zlorab otrok na internetu. V letu 2020 je prijavna točka obravnavala 856 primerov domnevnih posnetkov spolnih zlorab otrok, od tega jih je 539 posredovala naprej organom pregona. Te primere je prijavna točka posredovala tudi prijavnim točkam v državah, kjer so se te sporne vsebine nahajale. To je omogoča sodelovanje v mednarodnem združenju prijavnih točk INHOP. Prijavna točka je septembra v sodelovanju z Združenjem za informatiko in telekomunikacije pri Gospodarski zbornici Slovenije ter upravo kriminalistične policije pri generalni policijski upravi organizirala že 11. posvet e-zlorabe na temo spolnih zlorab otrok na internetu. Posvet je namenjen organom pregona, zaposlenim v centrih za socialno delo, v šolstvu, v nevladnih organizacijah in tudi pripravljalcem zakonodaje. Letos se je posveta udeležilo več kot 300 udeležencev in ob tem še več kot 50 udeležencev tudi iz tujine. To je bila predvsem posledica predstavitve kampanje Reci ne, s katero želijo predstavniki policij nekaterih držav Zahodnega Balkana in Europola opozoriti na specifike problematike spolnih zlorab otrok na internetu v tej regiji. Torej, prijavna točka pokriva tudi številne aktivne dejavnosti. Eno od teh je bila v lanskem letu sodelovanje pri pripravi priročnika spletno nasilje in pa spletne zlorabe otrok in mladostnikov. Priročnik je pripravila skupaj z točko osveščanja SEFSI, s policijo in pa skupnostjo centrov za socialno delo Slovenije. Priročnik je namenjen strokovnim delavcem, ki se lahko soočijo s tovrstnimi zlorabami. Omogoča na eni strani vpogled v konkretne oblike nasilja in zlorab na internetu, kot tudi v način obravnave teh zlorab na policiji in na centrih za socialno delo. Naj zaključim z mislijo, da storilci spolnih zlorab otrok na internetu postajajo pri izvajanju zlorab vse bolj sofisticirani, premišljeni in povezani. In po mojem je edin način, da se proti temu upremo, tudi povezano vseh deležnikov, ki delamo na tem področju in seveda zagotovitev zadostnih sredstev tako za preventivo, kot tudi za pregon storilcev in zaščito žrtev. Se pa pridružujem tudi vsem pozivom, ki jih je že izrekel moj predhodnik, gospod Tekavec. Hvala lepa.
Najlepša hvala tudi vam, gospod Motl, za vašo predstavitev. Mislim, da smo začeli dovolj dobro, da lahko steče ustrezna in kvalitetna razprava, ki bo na koncu pripomogla k temu, da se proti spolnim in spletnim zlorabam otrok lahko borimo bolj učinkovito. Hvala še enkrat vsem uvodnim sogovornikom. Sedaj pa bi besedo predal gospodu sopredsedujočemu, kolegu Fernandu Lopezu Aguilarju, ki bo vodil to izmenjavo mnenj. Gospod Aguilar, izvolite.
Thank you so much, Mr. Previ, dear co-chair. Now let's open the discussion. We have heard four panelists. So good ground for opening up the discussion with the members of the European Parliament and the national parliaments which are listed. I suggest we've got, in this particular second half of this morning session, a heavy list of speakers which are listed. So I suggest, for the sake of minding the timing, which is scheduled up until 1200 and not exceeding it, please have in mind that it should be 2 minutes each, because it's at least 20 of you. It should be then 40 minutes in a row. If you stick to 2 minutes each, 2 minutes each, it'll be 40 minutes. And then there will be some ground for the panelists at least to respond. Surely we are exceeding the scheduled time, but not, please, not too long. I just urge you not to exceed it for too long. So let's get started with Javier Zarzalejos. You're the first, European Parliament.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you. Thanks to our speakers for their presentations. I think there's no doubt that child sexual abuse must remain a priority for Europol. And on top of that, child sexual abuse, it's an area where Europol analytical and processing capacities may be applied more productively. Mr. Ruiz said that despite the efforts, we can be satisfied as far as the fight against sexual abuse is concerned. And it is true. But also, I'd like to commend the work of Europol and the law enforcement community in member states, a work with which is particularly stressing and that takes a high, let's say, psychological toll on those who have to watch, assess and identify these horrifying practices against children. I have just a couple of questions. One has already been answered by Mr. Onidi, but I want to confirm that in the upcoming long-term regulation that the Commission will be proposing in the near future, there will be the creation of a European Centre for Exploited Children, more or less along the lines of the US NECMEC. that would be a very important step forward. And the second question is about encryption. Encryption was identified by this parliament in the opinion on the Security Union document initiative of the Commission. In an opinion whose rapporteur was our chair, Mr. López Aguilar, as a useful tool to ensure privacy, but at the same time a challenge for our security and law enforcement. I'd like to ask you what is the, let's say, the state of play of our efforts in order to preserve the good thing about encryption and while addressing the challenge for our security.
Thank you so much. You made it in 2 minutes. We thank you for that. I expect the rest of the speakers listed will do alike. It'll be Madame Aude Bonneau-Vendôme, l'Assemblée nationale française. On vous écoute. Madame Vendôme, on vous écoute. Vous êtes là?
S'il vous plaît, appuyez sur le speak button une fois. Merci.
Ekaterina Kinichi sarà la seguente. Caterina Kinichi, preparata. Madame Vendôme, vous avez la parole. Il y a un problème? Ok. Allora, diamo la parola a onorevole Caterina Kinichi. È online.
Sì, grazie, grazie Presidente e grazie anche al suo co-presidente sloveno. E voglio ringraziare i relatori per le loro presentazioni su quello che è senza dubbio uno dei settori maggiormente delicati nell'ambito della cybercriminalità. L'abuso e lo sfruttamento online dei minori colpiscono i soggetti più vulnerabili, i bambini, e quindi necessitano della maggiore protezione possibile. E in questo settore, come ha detto oggi la commissaria Johansson, Europol ha un ruolo chiave. E voglio ringraziare per il tramite del dottor Ruiz proprio Europol per l'importante lavoro di analisi e di monitoraggio che l'agenzia ha svolto durante i mesi del lockdown, che ci ha dimostrato purtroppo come il fenomeno, già connotato io dico da numeri allarmanti, si sia drammaticamente aggravato, richiedendo risposte ancora più efficaci. E allora, a questo proposito, sappiamo che giovedì scorso, durante l'ultima sessione plenaria, il Parlamento ha approvato il mandato negoziale della Commissione Libe sulla riforma del regolamento di Europol, che indubbiamente potrà rafforzare il ruolo di Europol per una più efficace lotta a questi odiosi fenomeni criminosi, rispetto ai quali io ritengo pure sia molto importante procedere alla creazione del centro europeo, di un centro europeo per il contrasto e prevenzione agli abusi sessuali contro i minori, che sia in grado di ricevere direttamente le segnalazioni da parte delle imprese fornitrici di servizi di comunicazione elettronica e che possa quindi lavorare in stretta cooperazione con Europol, fornendo un supporto concreto al lavoro appunto di Europol. E allora vorrei chiedere più, diciamo, in generale al dottor Ruiz e al dottor Onidi, rispetto a questi fenomeni e all'esigenza di contrasto sempre più efficace a questi gravissimi reati, quali ritengono possano essere gli effetti delle disposizioni del nuovo regolamento in termini di maggiore efficacia della prevenzione e del contrasto agli abusi e agli sfruttamenti e allo sfruttamento online dei minori. E sempre velocemente in termini di prevenzione, cui pure i nostri ospiti hanno fatto tutti riferimento, vorrei chiedere al dottor Motl, che ci ha illustrato le iniziative del centro Safer Internet della Slovenia, quali iniziative ritiene i centri Safer Internet possano adottare, e in sostanza quali sono le lezioni che dobbiamo trarre da quanto accaduto soprattutto durante il periodo della pandemia per prevenire e arginare tali fenomeni di abusi così gravi di cui purtroppo le vittime sono i più indifesi, e cioè i bambini. Grazie.
Grazie a lei. Apparemment, Madame Vendôme n'est pas réussi à assurer la connexion. Then we move on for the time being. We will see if it's possible to be back to her. We will move to Jacek Kurzepa, Polish Sejm, and the following one will be Nikos K. Ketiros, Cyprus House of Representatives. Please, Mr. Kudzepa.
He's not connected. So next one is Nikos. No.
Nope. Then we move directly to Nikos Ketiros, Cyprus. Is he connected?
Mr. Ketiros, please press the speak button. Okay, perfect. We can
yes,
see
you. Yes, you are there.
Καλημέρα σας. Κυρίες και κύριοι συνεδροί, είναι αδιαφυσβήτητο γεγονός ότι το κυβερνοέγκλημα στην Ευρωπαϊκή Ένωση αυξήθηκε δραματικά κατά τη διάρκεια της πανδημίας και ιδιαίτερα η διαδικτυακή σεξουαλική κακοποίηση παιδιών, σύμφωνα με σχετικές καταγγελίες, όπως διαπίστωσε, επιβεβαίωσε και η επικεφαλής της Europol. Το υπάρχον νομικό πλαίσιο της Ευρωπαϊκής Ένωσης κρίθηκε από το Κοινοβούλιο ότι έθετε αρκετά εμπόδια στην αποτελεσματική αντιμετώπιση της διαδικτυακής κακοποίησης ανηλίκων. Για τον λόγο αυτό, μόλις το καλοκαίρι που μας πέρασε, ενέκρινε ως προσωρινή λύση νέους κανόνες για την καταπολέμηση της σεξουαλικής κακοποίησης παιδιών στο διαδίκτυο. Όσον αφορά την Κομισιόν, θα πρέπει να ετοιμάσει ένα μακροπρόθεσμο και μόνιμο σχέδιο που θα προστατεύει την ιδιωτική ζωή και τα προσωπικά δεδομένα των πολιτών και θα εξασφαλίζει ταυτόχρονα την πρόληψη και την αποτελεσματική και στοχευμένη έρευνα τέτοιων υποθέσεων. Παράλληλα, θα πρέπει να γίνουν εκστρατείες ενημέρωση των παιδιών για τους κινδύνους του διαδικτυακού εκφοβισμού, της αποπλάνησης, της υποκλοπής προσωπικών δεδομένων και της ανταλλαγής ανάρμοστων φωτογραφιών σύμφωνα με ευρωπαϊκές κατευθύνσεις και τα μέτρα που προτείνει η Europol στην τελευταία της έκθεση τον Απρίλιο, ώστε να επιτυχάνεται η μεγαλύτερη δυνατή ασφάλεια. Αγαπητοί συνάδελφοι, απαιτείται συντονισμός και συνεργασία και με τρίτες χώρες για ανταλλαγή βέλτιστων πρακτικών και δεδομένων, αλλά και ιδιωτών, αλλά και μη κυβερνητικών οργανώσεων, με στόχο τη λήψη μέτρων για την ανάπτυξη ισχυρής και ολοκληρωμένης αντιμετώπισης αυτών των εγκλημάτων. Τέλος, θα πρέπει να τονίσουμε για μια ακόμη φορά ότι πρέπει να λειτουργούμε πάντα ως προμηθείς και όχι, όπως τις περισσότερες φορές, ως επιμηθείς. Σας ευχαριστώ πολύ που με ακούσατε και για τον χρόνο σας.
Ευχαριστώ. Now, apparently, Madame Van Damme est réussi, et finalement réussi à assurer la connexion. Vous êtes connectée, Madame Van Damme? Êtes-vous prête?
Oui, tout à fait. Merci beaucoup, okay. Monsieur le Président. Mesdames, Messieurs, je suis heureuse que nous ayons l'opportunité d'échanger sur le rôle d'Europol face à ce problème d'importance croissante, en particulier dans le domaine de pandémie. Maintenir un haut niveau de cybersécurité est un défi pour les démocraties européennes, car les menaces auxquelles nous faisons face proviennent, pour certaines, d'acteurs étatiques extrêmement puissants. Je pense bien sûr aux risques d'ingérence qui ne sont pas à prendre à la légère. L'espace numérique est aussi le lieu d'une criminalité de droit commun qu'il nous faut combattre avec fermeté. La lutte contre la traite des êtres humains fait partie des priorités d'Europol pour les 3 années à venir. Il faut saluer le travail de diagnostic efficace réalisé au niveau européen, même si nous aurions apprécié, en tant que parlementaires, de disposer d'informations plus complètes sur ce point en amont de la réunion. La lutte contre la criminalité en ligne implique l'exploitation massive de données personnelles. Cependant, les règles de conservation et de transmission varient grandement entre l'Union européenne et les États tiers, mais aussi au sein même de l'Union. Quel est le rôle d'Europol dans les échanges ? Peut-on parvenir à harmoniser les pratiques afin de lutter plus efficacement contre les usages malveillants du numérique sans renoncer aux libertés en ligne? Merci pour votre attention.
Merci, Madame Pagasaurtundua, del Parlamento Europeo. 2 minutos, por favor.
Muchas gracias, presidente. Bueno, quiero agradecer muy vivamente a los ponentes porque nos han planteado la necesidad de trabajar de la forma más intensa y con el máximo compromiso. Yo tengo una pregunta para el señor Onidi que se refiere a cuál sería el papel de Europol en ese futuro centro de prevención y de lucha contra este tipo de criminalidad tan terrible. Eso por una parte. Y me uno también a la pregunta sobre la cuestión del encriptado, para tener una utilización equilibrada desde el punto de vista de las garantías y, por otra parte, de las necesidades y de los controles judiciales o del tipo la anonimización, ¿por dónde podemos tender para delimitar este tipo de lacra que crece de una manera tan extraordinaria? Pero al señor Ríos le quiero hacer algunas preguntas. Está claro, por lo que vemos hoy, que la cuestión de la prevención la tenemos en mantillas, que realmente no tenemos algunos de los datos fundamentales que necesitamos. Y por eso, aunque sea a nivel simplemente de estimación, en cuanto al patrón de lo que ustedes han visto en las operaciones que sí han desarrollado, en esos usuarios registrados, esos 800.000 usuarios u otros, ¿ustedes cuánto han podido saber de, primero, el sexo de las personas registradas, edad de las personas registradas, continente o nacionalidad, en el caso de que nos puedan dar alguna estimación de las personas registradas? ¿Alta alfabetización digital, más alta que la media o no? ¿Alta cualificación profesional o no? Y luego, algo que es muy importante para nosotros, para poder hacer bien nuestro trabajo legislativo, ¿tanto por ciento de obtención de material por manipulación moral, tanto por ciento de obtención por violencia física? Esto también es importante para que nosotros nos hagamos mejor una idea del trabajo que tenemos que realizar. Y otra cuestión, en lo que ustedes saben, por lo que les llega de los Estados miembros o no, las familias que se enteran que sus hijos están involucrados en alguna cosa así, ¿cuántos denuncian? ¿Cuántos sienten vergüenza y prefieren que esto se tape? ¿Qué saben ustedes de tanto por ciento de atención psicológica por este tipo de motivación? ¿Qué sabemos de lo que registran o se enteran los profesores y maestros en los centros escolares? Si tenemos que hacer frente a todo esto, necesitamos tener mayores datos, y perdonen si es que yo soy la persona que ignora. Y menores europeos afectados, estimación, menores no europeos afectados, estimación de países, todas estas cosas nos servirían a nosotros para tener una mejor evaluación y, por tanto, poder pensar con ustedes, poder comprometernos de una forma más eficaz. Es un tema muy oscuro, por supuesto, pero necesitamos saber para hacer nuestro trabajo como legisladores. Muchísimas gracias.
Gracias, señora Pagas Ortúndua. It'll be now Mr. Tibor Bana, Hungary, National Assembly. Are you there connected?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dear colleagues, thank you for the presentations. Online technologies like social media and messaging platforms are part of everyday life. While technology provides communication channels for us to share our thoughts, some actors with bad intentions can take advantage of it to turn online platforms against us. Thus, we are permanently under the threat of cyberbullying. Most of the online services used by the citizens of the European Union are run by foreign companies outside the EU. This phenomenon adversely affects the ability of the EU to bring actions against cyberbullying. Most victims of cyberbullying are teenagers. At this age, online harassment can lead to serious psychological damage, even to suicide. Thus, we must take immediate actions and provide a long-term solution. The early detection of online harassment can be the key approach to effectively protect citizens. Recognizing the scientific complexity of this issue, wider cooperation is needed. European Union, as a coordinator, should invite the most important technology companies to cooperate on a research project about the effective detection of cyberbullying. This association concept aims to create synergy among companies and EU member states. By sharing extensive knowledge about official EU languages and cybercrime cases from Europol, a successful partnership can be found. Our duty is to protect the younger generation physically and mentally. If this mission is well conducted, they will have a safer environment to grow up. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Now I understand that our colleague from the Polish Sejm, excuse me, Jacek Kurzepa, is now connected. Can you make it now, Jacek Kurzepa?
Tak, jestem. Pozdrawiam Państwa. W tej debacie, którą w tej chwili prowadzimy, nawiązuję do mojego poprzedniego wystąpienia. Chciałbym zwrócić naszą wspólną uwagę na samoświadomość może nie dzieci, ile bardziej młodzieży, która jest narażona, szczególnie w sieci, na rozmaite podniety grożące bezpieczeństwa, integracji ich osoby i ciała. Wobec powyższego mam wrażenie, że jednym z istotnych działań, które warto byłoby podjąć, to jest dialog z ambasadorami młodego pokolenia na temat samoodpowiedzialności młodego pokolenia Europejczyków, którzy powinni rozpoznawać tego typu zagrożenia płynące z sieci i nie tylko. Wydaje się, że ten element magnetyzmu grupy rówieśniczej, gdzie młody może przekonywać młodego do zaniechania pewnych aktywności w sieci i poza nią, które grożą ryzykiem bycia ofiarą przestępczości seksualnej, jest niewystarczająco przez nas uwzględniany. Zachęcam do włączenia młodego pokolenia Europejczyków do tych działań. Dziękuję bardzo.
Thank you, Mr. Kuzepa. Now it'll be Mr. Konstantinos Karakurnis, Greece, Greek Parliament, the Hellenic Parliament. Konstantinos Karakurnis.
Ελπίζω να μ' ακούτε.
Yes.
Ευχαριστώ πολύ, κύριε Πρόεδρε. Το 2020 στην Ελλάδα εξαιτίας της πανδημίας υπήρξε μια αύξηση 13,9% στο σύνολο των νέων υποθέσεων σεξουαλικής κακοποίησης που χειρίστηκε η Διεύθυνση Δίωξης Ηλεκτρονικού Εγκλήματος. Από τις 200 υποθέσεις που αφορούσαν ανήλικους, σε 76 αναγνωρίστηκαν τα θύματα. Στις υποθέσεις αυτές, το 27% των θυμάτων ήταν ηλικίας κάτω των 15 ετών και το 72% άνω των 15 ετών. Το 99,48% των θυμάτων ήταν γένους θηλυκού. Όσον αφορά το θήτη, το 2,6% ήταν ανήλικοι και το 97,4% ενήλικοι ηλικίας από 18 έως 75 ετών. Η έλλειψη γνώσης, σωστή χρήση του διαδικτύου, ο τεχνολογικός αναλφαβητισμός των γονέων, ο τρόπος με τον οποίο ο ανήλικος έχει πρόσβαση στο διαδίκτυο, είναι δεδομένα που καθιστούν ευάλωτο το υποψήφιο θύμα με τη μέθοδο του phishing ή με την κοινωνική μηχανική. Οι δράστες υποκλέπτουν στοιχεία πρόσβασης του θύματος σε λογαριασμούς κοινωνικής δικτύωσης. Εξίσου συχνή είναι η δημιουργία ψεύτικων λογαριασμών με χρήση στοιχείων από υφιστάμενους online λογαριασμούς. Μέσα σε όλα αυτά, οι αρχές πρέπει να απαντήσουν στις προκλήσεις που θέτει το bulletproof hosting, η κρυπτογραφία, το σκοτεινό διαδίκτυο, τα ψηφιακά κρυπτονομίσματα και το δίκτυο 5G που δυσχεραίνουν το έργο των διοκτικών αρχών. Η σωστή λοιπόν ενημέρωση των παιδιών και των γονέων από τους εκπαιδευτικούς φορείς, οι εκστρατείες ενημέρωσης από τα ειδικά κλιμάκια της αστυνομίας για το θέμα αυτό και η ψυχολογική υποστήριξη των θυμάτων από δημόσιες υπηρεσίες με την παράλληλη δυνατότητα τηλεφωνικής στήριξης αποτελούν τα πρώτα βήματα που πρέπει να λάβουν χώρα για τη αντιμετώπιση του προβλήματος. Τελειώνω γρήγορα λέγοντας ότι είναι πολύ σημαντική η πρόταση της Επιτρόπου για την ενίσχυση της συνεργασίας της Europol με τις ιδιωτικές εταιρείες, καθώς και τη δυνατότητα καταγγελίας από τις ιδιωτικές εταιρείες. Θεωρώ ότι είναι πολύ σημαντική πρωτοβουλία που βοηθά στην πρόληψη, πρέπει όμως να συνδυαστεί με τον απολογισμό κάθε χρόνο, δηλαδή πρόληψη και απολογισμός και έλεγχος. Και γι' αυτό ίσως η κυρία Επίτροπος να μας πει λίγο περισσότερα για τα επόμενα βήματά της προς τον τομέα αυτό. Ευχαριστώ πολύ.
Thank you. Now, it'll be from European Parliament, Mr. Patrick Breyer. And then again, it'll be speaking time for José Magalhães de la Asamblea de la República Portuguesa. Patrick, are you there connected?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Chair. First of all, let me say that I appreciate Europol's work when it comes to investigating instances of child sexual abuse. And in fact, much more needs to be done in terms of preventing such cases. However, I criticize that the Commission is moving in the wrong direction when it comes to the methods that you want to use. The Commissioner claims that investigators could be able to do everything at once, and she's deceiving us. The reality is that criminal investigations into suspected abuse cases are months and years behind. That means that children are not being rescued due to limited capacities. And it's irresponsible to increase in this situation the size of the haystack rather than focus on the leads that we have on actual abuse cases and the production of this material. So my questions to Mr. Anidi are, Will the upcoming legislative proposal be limited to scanning public content, or will it force the bulk interception and mass surveillance of private communications? Will any such obligation apply to end-to-end encrypted communications and thus threaten the safety of activists and minorities, industry and government officials alike that rely on this technology? Also, I've still heard no word on the compliance of your proposal with fundamental rights and the court's case law, such as FRAMS 1 and La Quadrature. Is there anything that you will tell us about this? And as to Europol, I would like to ask, how many of the referrals sent from US big tech are even criminally relevant? How long does it take in Europe before a suspect's data is confiscated and has been analyzed? Thus, how long does it take for children to actually be saved? And finally, is Europol itself using end-to-end encrypted communications to protect your work? How important is encryption to Europol and law enforcement itself?
Thank you. Now, José Magalhães, and then it'll be speaking time for Claire Daly. José Magalhães, Assembleia Portuguesa.
Two remarks. The first one is we are discussing problems of the past, most of them, meaning that the internet we are talking about has changed. And we are still discussing the problems we faced years ago. And the directive didn't work, and the new version of the directive will not work, cannot be effective. Coordination between police forces is poor, and it will continue to be poor. And the forces we are going against tend to be stronger and stronger. So this reminds me of the series Hello, Hello, which was a comedy, but this is a tragedy. Did you read about what Zuckerberg is doing with the Metaverse project? He is hiring 10,000 engineers in Europe to work in a parallel world, the Metaverse division, in which AR and VR will be used to create spaces in which we can do whatever crosses our minds, including things related to child abuse. What will Europol do about this, or are we going to discuss this after Metaverse being constructed, built, sold to Europeans, and we keep saying blah, 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 we don't know anything about Metaverse. From now on, we do know, I state, we should know, and who ignores this is making a joke about what should be done.
Thank you. Claire Daly. European Parliament, are you there? Yes, you are there in the room.
Thanks, President, and thanks to our speakers. I have to say I'm a bit worried about the focus on online child abuse. Now, in Ireland, like everywhere else, most child sexual abuse is carried out by a family member. 62% of children who experience sexual violence under the age of 13, it's carried out by a family member. Other than that, then, it's kind of people they know, a coach, a teacher, whatever, somebody in a caring role. And in that sense, I suppose the focus on online child sex abuse, we need to be careful that it's not detracting from our efforts in other regards, because to give the example of Ireland, like, we have a situation where there's no dedicated or integrated strategy to respond to sexual violence against children. The Irish family courts are largely bereft of any expertise in dealing with this situation. In family law cases, we often have a situation maybe where a father who'd been accused of abuse ends up getting custody of the children, and the mother being told that she has parental alienation syndrome and doesn't know what she's talking about. So there is a lack of joined up thinking here, and I think we really
I suppose my fear is that by focusing on the online, we're missing out on all of these other areas. And the Irish statistics give a very scary situation that the system fails to detect, prosecute or secure a conviction in 90 to 96% of child abuse cases. Absolutely shocking. But it's not confined to Ireland. Obviously, we've seen the situation scandals in Germany, in Poland, in the Netherlands. So it's a Euro-wide problem. And I really want to come back to the point that, to me, it is being used in some ways by people who want to have a more stricter mass surveillance online without any corresponding impact in terms of child safety. So I would like to hear more from our panel in that, like, mass surveillance is useless in fighting child sexual abuse. In Germany, for example, we see increasing numbers of child abuse content being flagged, but a lot of it is stuff that's actually shared consensually among minors. So I think we have to be really careful about where this is going without actually any impact in terms of child safety. Thanks.
Yes, I understand that Lucia Muñoz, from the Congress of Deputies. No, she's not ready. She will be ready later on. So let's move on first to Mrs. Oana Consuela Florea, which is Romania, House of Deputies.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to thank our co-chairs for including the debate on the online abuse of children on our agenda. It's a sensitive and very, very important topic, and I thank you very much for that. Before the pandemic, the online abuse of children was already an issue of great concern, while our new lifestyle during the lockdowns and following sanitary restrictions only made things worse, as reports of Europol and of the national authorities show. Therefore, I'm glad to note that the European Commission and the Council of the European Union are taking important steps in fighting these crimes. Furthermore, in Romania, and I'm sure that in most of your country as well, the competent national authorities are alert on this risk and are running a great number of operations and of prevention campaigns. Nevertheless, in order to fight these crimes in an effective manner, we need to consider that the perpetrators are using private infrastructure and that the crimes are taking place both in the EU and in the third countries. The law enforcing authorities should have the appropriate framework to cooperate with these providers and together develop technical solutions that allow the abusive material to be detected in a broad manner. Furthermore, the private providers should have a legal responsibility in respect with detecting and reporting to the public authorities the content that represents an online abuse on children. And I will stop here because I want to ask Mr. Ruiz, and I would like to thank him for his presentation. Please correct me if I'm wrong. You said that in 2020 you had 200 operations. And this year, a little more over 50. So this phenomenon is decreasing, or what do I have to understand? Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Florea. As I said, we will be in trouble to complete the speaking list, which is, of course, my intention. That's what I'm intending to do, and respect the scheduled time of the interpretation cabin. So I suggest, please try to refrain to 2 minutes, the rest of the speakers which are listed, and then I will be given the floor first to our Slovenian panelists, considering that other two panelists, Mr. Ruiz and Monsieur Onidi, are here in the room with us. Once we exceed the scheduled time, which we certainly will, they will be English only, so that we can make it without interpreters. Okay, that's my suggestion, so that we can have it completed. Now let's move on. It'll be Axel Voss, which is in the room.
Vielen Dank, Herr Vorsitzender. In Anbetracht der Zeit muss man das sicher jetzt dann sehr zurückhalten. Ich konzentriere mich auf einige Fragen. Zunächst einmal große Datensätze zu analysieren. Das scheint ja irgendwie ein Problem zu sein. Inwieweit kann hier KI helfen oder müssen wir technologisch mit Quantum Computing sozusagen eher aufrüsten? Von daher Potenzial von KI. Wie weit ist der Vorschlag der Kommission hier in diesem Bereich den Bedürfnissen von Europol auch angepasst oder werden möglicherweise sogar Aktivitäten eher nicht möglich sein? Das Zweite wurde schon angesprochen, Kooperationen mit Behörden aus Drittstaaten, insbesondere asiatischen Staaten. Und hier der Austausch mit Daten, funktioniert das? Soll das noch weiter ausgebaut werden? Oder müssen wir am Ende, weil gesetzliche Hinderungsgründe auch da sind, doch in der Tat mehr Plattform auch gesetzlich mehr verpflichten? Ich habe so ein bisschen das Gefühl, dass bei allem Willen, dass wir das bekämpfen wollen, wir hier im Haus, im Parlament leider auch nicht immer sehr stringent nach vorne arbeiten, aus politischen Gründen zum Teil. Das ist sehr traurig angesichts dieses Themas. Aber es wäre eben schön, genau zu wissen, was Sie eigentlich brauchen, um dann auch gesetzgeberisch dazu zu einem Ende zu kommen, sozusagen. Danke.
Vielen Dank, Axel. Now it'll be Anelos Tsikris from the Hellenic Parliament, Greece. Are you there? Ready to make it?
Ναι, κύριε Πρόεδρε, ευχαριστώ. Κυρίες και κύριοι σύνεδροι, πρόκειται για ένα θέμα που αν το πιάσεις από μακριά, παγώνεις. Αν πας πολύ κοντά, καίγεσαι. Η σεξουαλική κακοποίηση των παιδιών, σύμφωνα με την σύγχρονη εγκληματολογική σκέψη και έρευνα, αποτελεί το σοβαρότατο κακούργημα, ενώ το θύμα είναι ακόμα εν ζωή. Όταν αυτή η πράξη απευθύνεται σε παιδιά, είναι σχεδόν καταστροφική. Όλες οι έρευνες δείχνουν ότι οι συνέπειες είναι χωρίς επιστροφή. Η μόνη ποινή είναι η ανωτάτη των ποινών, ισόβια κάθριξη. Σήμερα, το διαδίκτυο έχει βάλει το χεράκι του εντός εισαγωγικών και έχει διευκολύνει αυτό το ιδεχθέστατο έγκλημα. Μέσα σε ένα χρόνο, από το 19 στο 20, έχουμε 28% αύξηση των τέτοιου τύπου σεξουαλικών παρενοχλήσεων με ηλεκτρονικά μέσα. Το πρόβλημα είναι τεράστιο, γιατί αυτό που βλέπουμε από καταγγελίες δεν αφορά τίποτα παραπάνω από το 6% των συνόλου των κακοποιήσεων. Άρα βλέπουμε μόνο την κορυφή ενός βουνού που έχει τεράστιο βάθος στη θάλασσα. Προκειμένου να βοηθήσουμε τα ανυπεράσπιστα θύματα, χρειάζεται συνεργασία των εθνικών αρχών, των εθνικών αστυνομιών, συνεργασία σε ευρωπαϊκό και παγκόσμιο επίπεδο. Οι γονείς από μόνοι τους δεν φτάνουν, γιατί πολλές φορές οι γνώσεις τους δεν τους επιτρέπουν να έχουν τα μέσα πρόληψης και ελέγχου του διαδικτύου. Συνεπώς, οι μεγάλοι υπερεθνικοί οργανισμοί ήρθε η ώρα να αναλάβουν σήμερα τις ευθύνες τους. Και γι' αυτό είμαστε όλοι εδώ, να βοηθήσουμε την πρωτοβουλία της Europol, προκειμένου να πάμε σε μεγαλύτερη προληπτική διαδικασία αντιμετώπισης αυτού του τύπου των ασύμετρων απειλών. Σας ευχαριστώ πολύ.
Aristos. Now I've got listed Mr. Zmago Jeninčić from Slovenia, Slovenian Parliament. If you're connected, can you make it? Mr. Jeninčić? Nope, doesn't work. And how about Lucia Muñoz? Neither, she is connected. No, she's not. Then we will be back to our panelists. It's 10 minutes of the official scheduled slot for this second half of the morning session, so I suggest we hear first the round of comments, responses or reactions to the questions that have been raised by Mr. Robert Tenavich, head of the Juvenile Crime Section of the General Crime Division, Criminal Police Directorate, Police Slovenia. And then we will be hearing from Andrej Motl, the Safer Internal Center from Slovenia. And then we will be back to the two panelists which are sharing the room with us. Mr. Tekavec, are you there?
Hvala za besedo. Hvala tudi za podporo strani poslank in poslancev, ki se zavedajo pomembnosti te tematike. Jaz bi rekel tako, da strinjam se, da smo v teh nekaj minutah, ki nam je bilo dano, povedali čisto premalo o tej tematiki, o kateri bi lahko govorili dan ali več. In strinjam se, da je na to temo treba povedati več. Danes, ko smo časovno omejeni, bi mogoče odgovoril na eno vprašanje, ki ga mogoče kot preiskovalec najlažje odgovorim. Strinjam se, da ko gledamo o problemu, izzivih, ki prinaša spolna zloraba otrok, ne smemo gledati samo interneta, ampak moramo gledati zlorabe tudi v fizičnem okolju. Vse, kar je na internetu, so po večinem na gradivu živi pravi otroci, ki so spolno zlorabljeni v svojem okolju, se pravi, so zlorabljeni lahko tudi v svojih družinah. Pomembnost, da sodelujemo pri preiskavah zlorab preko interneta, je pa seveda zelo pomembno, saj pogosto zlorabe, ki se zgodijo doma, ostanejo skrite, nepreiskane, se ne prijavijo. Različni strokovnjaki take zlorabe ne prepoznajo ali pa jo prepoznajo in ne odreagirajo. In ko dobimo kakšno prijavo tudi od NKMEK-a, ki ste ga omenjali, ugotovimo, da je v prijavi posnetek, na katerem je zlorabljen otrok, ki je zlorabljen že 7 let ali več in te zlorabe ni prijavil nihče. Niti drugi starš otroka, niti učitelji, niti vsi, ki so imeli stik z otrokom. Zato je tudi to pomembno in še enkrat poudarek je seveda tako na spolnih zlorabah v fizičnem okolju. Hvala lepa.
Thank you. How about Andrej Motl, Safer Internal Center, Slovenia? Are you there connected?
Me slišite?
Yes.
Jaz bi se odzval na eno konkretno vprašanje. Torej, kakšne so lekcije pandemije za naš center za varnejši internet? Na liniji za pomoč staršem in otrokom so opazili porast povečanje samomorilnih razmišljanj in pa težav na področju duševnega zdravja med tistimi otroki in mladimi, ki so jih kontaktirali. Tukaj so opazili precejšen porast tekom pandemije in tekom izolacije in drugih ukrepov. Večinoma so se te otroci obračali na spletni klepet, kjer pa so opazili, da jim ne koristi v tolikšni meri kot recimo stik v živo. Zato so te mlade usmerjali v stik v živo, kjer lahko doseže neko večjo stopno povezanosti, kar se mi zdi pomembno poudariti v teh časih, v toliki meri, kolikor so te stiki seveda mogoče, da se to v največji meri omogoči. Kar se tiče regulacije tega področja, se mi zdi pomembno poudariti, da se, kot so že nekateri predhodniki povedali, da se sodeluje z zasebnimi podjetji in da se omogoči zaznavanje, kot prvo zaznavanje posnetkov spolnih zlorab otrok v čim večji meri, kajti če problema ne vidimo, mogoče mislimo, da ga ni, a marsikje ni tega zaznavanja oziroma ni na zadosti visoki ravni. Šele na to lahko zares vidimo, kako velik je ta problem. In seveda potem, ko zaznavamo posnetke, ko zaznavamo tudi spletno nagovaranje storilcev zlorab mladoletnim osebam, potem lahko ukrepamo na prave načine. Kar se tiče preventive, se mi zdi mogoče to še ni bilo omenjeno pomembno, zavedanje tega, kako pomembno je zaupanje med starši in otroki, pri preprečevanju zlorab, če se starši zavedajo tveganj, ampak ne samo z vidika informacij, ampak tega, da sami skrbijo za svoje početje na internetu in to prek nekega odnosa zaupanja naučijo tudi mlade, je to lahko izjemnega pomena za manjšo škodo in za preprečevanje zlorab. Kar se tiče pa bolj globalnih ukrepov, se mi pa zdi pomembno, da financiranje mrež, kot je InSafe in pa InHop, ki sta sofinancirani tudi z strani Evropske komisije, da se to financiranje povečuje skladu s tem, kot se povečuje tudi stopnja spolnega izkoriščenja otrok na internetu.
Thank you, Mr. Motl. Now we move on. Maybe we can make it, we still can make it in time. I would give you the floor, Monsieur Onidi, on behalf of the Commission, and then we will be hearing from Europol, Fernando Ruiz. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair. Well, first, thank to all the speakers, because it's a fabulous source of encouragement, I think, to all the actors who work in this very difficult field. In terms of the long-term regulation, it will not only capture online aspects. So to Claire Daly, definitely very strong and important point she made. There also, we should not forget about the offline world. And this is mostly evident in the way we are conceiving the forthcoming center, which we would like to put in place at European level. The Commission is determined to propose a center which role will be very much to tackle both online and offline, in the sense that most of the duties of this body will be on prevention, protection of victims, rehabilitation, basically to help support activities like the ones presented to us by the Safer Internet Center and the likes. Organized peer groups also that Mr. Kuska was calling for, but also have as a duty to provide quality assurance as to the material that is being detected. This is also a role that will immensely enhance the overall safeguards that we have to be absolutely crystal sure that whatever material is being identified and then subsequently also used by law enforcement authorities is proper material that respects the fundamental rights of individuals. And in this context, it will become the natural partner of Europol and complete the chain of communication between the different actors responsible. On Mr. Breyer's question, yes, indeed, the proposal will seek to have as a scope all means of communication. That's the real value added of this proposal, is to actually touch upon all forms of communication, including, of course, private communication. On the encryption aspects, I think we will not legislate on whether encryption should be used or not, but I think the legislation should entail a number of ground principles, providing that whenever actors do some technical choices, make technical choices, including the possible choice to encrypt their communication end-to-end, this should not come against their responsibility, their duty to perform the obligations that will be entailed in the legislation. This is, I think, the very important principle that we want to embed in the legislation. On the capacity of Europol and Europol's proposed new regulation to be strengthened, yes, I mean, Fernando will say much more about this, but all the different dimensions, the quest to develop innovative tools, including artificial intelligence, Mr. Voss is absolutely right. Artificial intelligence not only allows more to be detected, but also to be much less intrusive in the way we actually look at communication of different individuals, because the machine learning allows to target actually and use some aspects which are typically evidence of sexual abuse material. The directive also on Mr. Mayales, like very strong criticism. I'd like just to be clear, the current legislation is about the criminalization of abusing children. And that piece of legislation, that directive, has actually provided a lot of benefits at European Union level because it has leveled up the criminalization across the board in all member states on these forms of crimes. What we are talking about now is a potential legislative framework in order to, as he is saying, in order to reflect the current internet and develop the proper ways of holding this horrendous crime on the internet that exists today, and hence adapt quite a number of means as the digital transformation is ongoing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Monsieur Onidi. Now, floor goes to you, Fernando Ruiz, on behalf of Unit for Cybercrime Special Operations, Europol. There you go.
Thank you, Chair. I will start with one of the questions related to the upcoming Europol new regulation. First, I would like to say that we have had the opportunity to have sessions and contribute with the Commission on the drafting of the proposal. Also, we have been invited to participate in sessions in the discussions in the Council and also with the Parliament to respond to the questions that the expert may have on how this new regulation could place Europol in a better position to help the European law enforcement authorities. I will highlight three areas in things that are very relevant for us. One is the analysis and the handle of large data sets. I know yesterday you touched this topic. You have a discussion on the topic of data subject categorization. I think with the new regulation, we'll have better possibilities enforcing all the safeguards, data protection, and fundamental rights. And I would like to stress here that Europol is one of the in terms of data protection and protection of fundamental rights, is one of the most robust environment that I have seen. We have our in data protection function, we have an audit function, we have the EDPR, they have a team focused on working on Europol, we have this group, and we are now in the context of the new Europol regulation, we are considering the possibility is considered to have a fundamental rights officer. So all this together provides a very robust data protection environment. The second aspect I would like to highlight is the possibility to have a more flexible exchange of information with the private sector. In the current regulation, this is an exceptional basis. In the proposal that they will be discussed and in the trialogue will be something that Europol can be doing on a more flexible way in order to provide a better support to the member states. Always, when we receive information, with the goal to inform and report it to the member states. But we can, apart from reporting, we can enrich the information and provide the outcome of our analysis. We will have the possibility to develop systems to facilitate the direct communication between the law enforcement authorities in the member states and the private sector in a secure way. And finally, the third one has been referred by Mr. Onidi on the role of innovation and research that is definitely needed. We need to develop tools, and we have to make a wiser use of technology in order to focus our limited resources. We have had the conversations and with the EDPS on developing in the context of specific cases machine learning models in order precisely to focus on what is relevant when we have to deal with a large data set. Concerning the question posed by Mr. Pagazar Tundua on this case where we have 400,000 users in the dark web, how many have been identified? I don't have here the details, but I can tell a very small percentage. These users are very savvy and we have very limited information to find them. That's why we need to make use of technology, but also a combination of traditional investigative measures, analyzing also the traces they leave, like the material they upload through the victim identification functions and task forces that we coordinate. In relation to the assistance to victims, unfortunately, we don't have statistics. The assistance to victims is something very close to the national authorities, regional and even local authorities who are closer to the environment of the victim. And in Europol, we don't have this point information statistics on this area. Mr. Patrick Breyer made a question about the referrals that we disseminate through Europol, they coming from the online platforms. I have to say that we don't have accurate statistics. And that's something that I understand and I fully agree. This is important. We need to, and that's why we are developing tools in the context of our projects to working together with the private sector, with the law enforcement community, in projects funded by the European Commission to develop better tools to manage, to handle these referrals and to obtain statistics directly from the member states in order to have a more accurate view on this flow of information and where we can be more effective. He asked also how fast is the channel of these referrals. Well, these referrals have different levels of priority. I would like to give a quick example of a case that we supported some time ago. This was a case in which a user in the European Union uploaded a picture of child abuse material. This picture was spotted by a hotline who reported this to the hosting service provider. The hosting service provider reported this information to NECMEC. NECMEC reported this information to the US agency which we work and provided this to Europol. We contacted the member state where this concerned by this information. It was Romania at that point. We directly contacted the investigators. We have a 24/7 capability in this area. The investigator received the information. They opened a case. In a question of 2 days, they managed to identify and rescue the victim. You have seen the long process that I have just described. The whole process took 3 days. And this is remarkable. This is possible because we have a process and we have a system. Otherwise, we would have taken much more longer. So, regarding the use of encryption by Europol, obviously, we have a very secure information exchange system, and encryption is at the core of this exchange system. We have an accreditation up to EU confidential, which is very high, and encryption plays an important role. But I can tell you also for sure that this is not an environment where children operate. Regarding the number of operations supported by Europol in 2020 in this area, I mentioned 100, and only in the first months of this year we have 15. So the numbers are more or less the same. And please take into account this: we are talking about high-level operations, in operations in which we have at least three services, like operational analysis, support on the spot, or forensic support. So we have many more exchanges in this area. And finally, I would like to make a comment on what Ms. Dale said about the abuse that normally takes place and very often takes place in the closer environment of the children where they have relationships. And this is something that obviously law enforcement authorities investigate what comes to our attention. But that's why we need to tackle this problem from all different angles. And we have to, all the actors involved, from the teachers, parents, the civil society, we all have to pay attention to detect these situations. And that's something very much aligned to the project of the new center, which is covering top three pillars: law enforcement, prevention, and assistance to victims. That's all from my side.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ruiz. And as we thank, of course, all of the panelists we've enjoyed this morning, they have shared with us mindful and useful contributions. Only to announce that we are resuming our work 13:45 for the final hour this afternoon. We exceeded our timing as foreseen, and you see, the interpreters have already deserted us some minutes ago. So I can only pass the floor for concluding remarks to our co-chair this morning, Mr. Preville. Back to you.
Yeah, thank you very much, co-chair. Now I believe I have to speak in English for that matter, but no problem. I'm really glad that we all had the opportunity to discuss this important topic on the online child abuse today. And I can only agree that it is really important that we don't talk just about the online child abuse, but the abuses on the all aspect. I would like to thank everyone, especially the keynote speakers and also the one who joined the debate, for the interesting presentations and of course for the interesting debate. I see that this subject affects each and every one of us. The fight on this affects each one of us. Since these acts no national borders, so I think that I can say that cooperation with the countries, of course, within the EU and also overboard is crucial. The safety of children comes first, and therefore my appeal to all the present MPs, members of European Parliament, invited guests, Europol representatives, and of course everyone else present to work with us to implement the kind of legislation that will ensure the safety of our children, and of course the appeal to you that you promote the prevention of this, and so the children can be safe also online. Thank you very much, and as said, we will resume our work at 13:45 sharp with the second thematic debate on financial crime. Thank you very much.
Thank you.